Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
Right now, I just wanted several adults and students to be able to testify of what God did. Now, we may not all share every single thing. We're not going to share everything, but I wanted everyone to share that wanted to share the things that God did in them. Okay, so God did a lot of things. We had just amazing time of God working in our own lives as well as us being able to work in the lives of other people. Do we have that? Okay, so here is our finished house that we all helped to build. Amen. Amen. We all built that house. It was really amazing. So it's 16 by 20. Got that right? 16 by 20. And next week we'll show you what they lived in before this. I can't even describe to you the difference. We also were able to furnish them with a new stove and oven. So they have a stove and oven. They have bunk beds for their children. They have beds. For the first time, they have a stove for first. They have electricity. They have a door that locks. So that's just a glimpse. It was such an amazing experience, and we were so thankful to be a part of it, and we're so thankful that you helped us to do it, and we all did it together. So we're gonna just kind of go through different folks, and the first one that's gonna testify is Jason. Come on up, Jason.
So you guys can see the house. So just. Back in April, Kim and I put our house on the market, right? And we prayed about it. We prayed with our real estate agent. And the word says, wait and be patient, right? Yeah. So we're waiting, we're praying. We're becoming more and more patient. And a few people look at the house, right? And so we're ups and downs, highs and lows, kind of excited. Kind of not, kind of scared, you know, going through, well, what are we going to do next? And all this stuff is going through your mind, right? So with our real estate agent, Christy Fuller, we said at least we know that we're going to be praying, right? So our agent's obviously one of our church members, so it's awesome. But the highs and lows from April until we went on this trip, really nothing had happened with our house, right? So we get to YWAM, and what day did we get there? Friday, Saturday, Sunday goes by, we get to go to church. Monday we have a training. Saturday was training. So Monday morning is the first day of our house build, right? So it starts from a concrete pad, and that's all they have there. And you can kind of get a glimpse on the right side. That's where they all slept. There was five people that slept in there. That was their living quarters. Their kitchen was separate. But you show up on their site, on their house, on their home, and it's just heartbreaking to see what they have and what they don't have and what we have. So I know it's God's timing. So we start on the house, and we start building bonds, friendships, and we all are working with our hands, all of us, helping everything with this house. And at the end of the day, we're tired, we're humbled, and we get into a time of worship when we get back to the campus. We're in worship and just pouring it out to God. And in the middle of the worship towards the end, I have my phone in my pocket. I feel it buzz and the light comes on. And I look at my phone. And it's a text from my wife. Guess what? We got an offer on our house today. Today. It's all about God's timing. No matter what we think, what we pray about, we are not in control, and we have to learn to give it all Give it all to God. It is God's time, not ours. So thank you for that time. Thank you for the people involved in our house and our decisions. And going forward, I thank you for the opportunity to be where I was, to do what I did, and the bonds and friendships that I made while I was there. Thank you.
Okay, so Patricia is going to testify next. I did want to make a little announcement. We're not going to have, we will have the nursery open, but we're not going to have any children's service because we want all of our children to be able to hear what the Lord did. So that's why we've canceled all services for the children, except for you can go into the toddler infant room. Come on up, Patricia. Does that help? Okay. Hold the mic real close because we have to share this to other people. We've got to be good. We're not used to being preaching here. So this is practice.
Practice. Okay. Gosh, it's hard for me to start. There's not one of us that went there that did not come back changed. Every single person was there 100% for others. But it was amazing, like Jason testified. Even though we were 100% there for others, God was with us every second of the way and answered many of our own personal prayers. I had the opportunity, they told us during session, they wanted us all to share our testimony. I'm 51 years old and I've never shared my testimony ever. And they said, they want you to share your testimony and they want you to bring a rock once you share your testimony and put it up front. Well, I've been a Christian. I can't ever remember not being part of the church. I was saved when I was went to a Christian camp. As a teenager, so I've always had God in my life, so I just never really shared my story. So I had a hard time with that. And then I prayed about it, and then I shared my testimony with Stephanie and Becky, and cried. And my testimony basically was about how, you know, things happened in my younger childhood, and it was hard to deal with, and the situation growing up was very hard to deal with. And so I have always had a heart for children because in my heart I always wanted to save children and protect them because no one was there to protect me. So I have a stepdaughter who went through several addictions. She's 30 now and praise God she's alive. She's sober. So I learned through that as hard as we tried for a good 10 years to try to save her, that we could not. And we had to give her to God. And then I was very driven to adopt two sisters at the age of 4 and 5. They came to live with us. And because they were older and because of their situation, they had a lot of challenges. And always in the back of my head, I'm like, you can't save these girls. You can't save these girls. You got to give them to God. You got to give them to God. But I've always been frustrated because I'm very driven and I can do this and I don't need to bug God about that. And so that's always been me. That's been my issue, letting God. So then on Sunday, we're there and we travel about an hour, I think, to church. It's a Hispanic church. I don't speak Spanish. Agua, that's about my length of Spanish. And so we're there. His service is 100% about letting go of your children and giving them to God. On the very day I've given my testimony at 51 years of age. And I had three issues. He speaks Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. The interpreter says that it was the first time she had ever interpreted a service, so she was struggling. And then I'm hard of hearing, so I mean, that I could understand a word that was going on was amazing. And so there you go. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wait. Well, then I thought you were standing that I needed to be done. Okay. And so then after I'm standing against the wall, and I'm just not the type of person that likes to bring a lot of attention to myself. And I'm sitting there, and I just feel this pull. You need to go up front. You need to go up front. Because at the end of the service, the parents came with their children. And I'm like, this is not your church. This is not your service. And I'm just sitting, I'm literally sitting there going like this, you know, because I can feel the pull. And then finally I'm like, forget it, I'm going. And so I went by the people I was standing by, and I was looking for my daughter, because my daughters are the two that have really changed my life. And I've always felt like I wanted to save them, and my testimony is those girls have saved me. And I went and I was looking for her, and then I realized that she was at the Sunday school. So then I found my son, and I just stayed. Instead of going up front, I just stood by him, and he was very gracious, because as a teenager, you kind of felt like, what's up, Mom? And so I put my hand on him, and I'm just sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. You can just feel the presence of God. And after the service, I asked the pastor if he would pray for me, and he anointed all three of us with oil, and it was just moving that God can speak to you in any language, any place. He goes with you everywhere.
Amen. Stephen, come on up here and testify, brother.
All right, I've got a little explanation for this Chris guy you've been hearing about. He was actually our translator on the trip. He was our main translator, and he was one of our co-hosts on our trip. And the whole time, man, he poured his heart into every single one of us kids. Like, if you can imagine, like, going every week, you have kids come in, you get connected with them, you love on them, and then they're gone, and you'll probably never see them again. Chris did that with every single one of us, and he's been doing it for this whole summer. And so here's Chris. Everyone say hi. He's truly an amazing guy, but I'm going to give you to Jason real quick.
I have to tell you that Chris told me personally that we were special. So I don't know if Chris was just telling every group that, but somehow or another, I think we were special.
Guy, he totally impacted my life. And I just wanted to let you know, he saw the phone going around, like, all these kids are just passing a phone around in church. So, this church, like they said, it was really life-changing. And one of the things God did for me is he showed me how he works and the way he'll blow your world apart in many ways if you let him. And so the main thing that I was struggling with is, and I'm going to call someone out, but in a good way, Cora. I've prayed with Cora many times, and she is, like, so spirit-filled. It's amazing. She speaks in tongues. I've heard it. It's crazy. And so for the longest time, it's like, God, when is my chance going to come? When is my spiritual gift, you know? Especially with Pastor Chris's sermon, is like, oh, when is this going to come? I'm ready, Lord. And it just hadn't been coming, hadn't been feeling it. And it started, like, tearing me apart. Like, I just start feeling like, I don't know, just if this isn't coming, you know, am I doing something wrong? What is wrong with my faith? What am I doing wrong? And so I was struggling with that a lot during the trip, and it was really bearing on me, and I was just praying about it. And then on Sunday, I believe it was, the whole staff put on this, they called it their passion play. So if you've seen The Passion of the Christ or you know about it, you can imagine it was, and they did it well, so it was intense. Yes, thank you. That was a good word. It was crazy. And afterwards, we got into some small groups. There was a big group, about 10 of us, and then there was a small group, about 4 of us, and I ended up praying with 3 other guys, and man, the Holy Spirit just, like, blew in the room. Like, it came onto me, it came onto all the guys we were talking about, and there was a point we were all just, and then we just all started speaking in tongues. It was amazing. Like, I'm telling you guys, that was like nothing else, and it was amazing, and we got done, and, you know, it was bonding amazing. Well, the next few days, and it didn't feel like it was wrong, but it definitely felt like something wasn't right about that. And I'm not, like, it didn't feel like I'd been, like, doing anything wrong, or I'd been lying about it or something. I don't know, it just didn't feel right. So one of the worship sessions, I just sat there and I just gave my heart to God. I just started praying, you know, for a sign if what I was doing was right, if what I was pursuing was in the right direction, you know, if what I was doing was right. And just the whole worship service, I just, like, was giving it all to him. And just asking, like, I just kept saying, you know, send me a sign if what I'm doing is right, like a sign, like literally like a physical sign. Because, like, you know, I get hit over the brick with the head and still wouldn't understand it. So anyway, the whole worship service went by and I was like, okay, you know what, Lord, maybe today's not the day. I turn around and I'm walking out and Isaac, he stops me. He goes, hey, can I talk to you real quick? And I was just like, yeah. I was like, this is it. Here we go. And we get outside, And he takes me outside. We go outside to where there's so many people. So we just went, got alone. And he basically just says, you know, God put it on my heart to tell you that you don't have to be other people. You don't have to try to strive to be other people. You know, that my spiritual gifts will be my spiritual gifts. And even my just regular gifts will be my gifts. And so that just really spoke to me. You know, it was like I was constantly trying to be Korah and be, you know, speaking in tongues. And not that speaking in tongues was wrong. And maybe that is still my gift. But the Lord really shared to me about how that was just pursuing it in a way to make it be a substitute for your faith, or to be like someone else is definitely not the way to go about it. So just God totally blew my world apart with that. And it just seriously was like speaking in tongues, totally amazing. He gave me the chance to like, he's like, I'm here, I'm with you, and I'm going to give you this. But at the same time, do not compare to other Christians and do not use that as a substitute for your faith. So just let God blow your world apart and he will.
Speaking of that, we really did have an amazing time. The students really entered in. Like, it was really, really sweet. It's hard to describe what happened. But we'll continue to do that. Go ahead, Jordan. Come on up. Jordan is going to, let's give it up for Jordan. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
So on the Mexico trip, something that really touched my heart was the house build. And on the last day of the house build, we had the keys, and we all got to hold the keys and pray for the family. And then when the keys went around the circle, we gave the keys to the family. And we gave them a moment in the house, like it was about a minute and a half. So after that long, we knocked on the door, and we opened the door, and the family was crying, and that really touched my heart. So as soon as I saw them, I started getting teary-eyed, because that just made me realize how privileged we are, because the house isn't very big. It's a pretty small house, but to them, it was everything. It was everything they had, because they were just living in a shack with tarps, and it was everything they had, and that just made me realize how privileged we are. And yeah, that just really touched my heart. And we were praying for them inside, because we were their first guests inside, and that really touched my heart. So when we were praying for them, it just really touched my heart, and I was just, yeah.
It's hard to describe completely. One thing I do want to say was, it was such a sweet time. I'm going to kind of explain that a little bit more, because I don't think any of our students are. We actually got to hold the keys. Each person, all 25 of us, plus the YWAM staff that helped build it, got to hold the keys and bless the family, and just, you know, with scripture or whatever. So every single one of us got to do that. That was really a powerful time. In fact, I was telling my husband this story, and he was crying on the phone. You know, Pastor Chris. So he was crying as I was explaining, but it was such a neat time. And one thing he was describing is we let the family go into the house first. And so they went in and they shut the door and they, you know, got to experience the house by themselves. And then all 25 of us knocked on the door and we were going to be their first guests. That's what he was explaining. So it was just really powerful. And we all piled in this little house. So it was awesome. Okay, Melissa, let's give it up for Melissa. All right, you guys, lots of encouragement for Melissa, because she's not one that loves to get up here, all right? But she's got something to share.
So I'm just going to read what I wrote. On the last day, we went to the landfill just outside of Tijuana. We were driving down the road with trash piled on both sides. Just after we parked, I got out, and the smell of burning trash filled the air. Every single child there was covered in black soot. Their clothes were torn and dirty, and one little boy didn't even have a shirt. Most of them didn't have shoes, and they walked on a ground that is covered in glass and rocks and burning trash and sewage. They lived in shacks made of tarps and sheets of wood. Some, if not most, of their parents do drugs. And even though, like, they live in this, they still have such joy in their hearts. And all they want, all these children want, is just love and affection. Seeing all of that, it has definitely humbled me. Every time I eat something or take a drink of clean water or crawl into my clean, warm bed and fall asleep under a roof, so I fall asleep with a roof over my head, I think of all those beautiful children and how they're not always so lucky. Leaving was the hardest thing I could ever do because just in those three tiny hours, every single child there stole a big piece of my heart. And after Father Reuben, he was the pastor there. He lives there with all of the community. And after Father Reuben's wife died, he decided to live out the rest of his life helping and ministering to that community. He loves the children, he teaches them about Jesus, and he even educates them. He also feeds them every day, twice a day. But to keep doing so, he needs all the help he can get. I brought a jar and to receive any donations for him and the children. And if God puts it on your heart to donate, even if it's just a small amount, it is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Amen.
It was a really hard day. That was our last day after the house build. We went to the dump, and that's exactly what it was. And there's lots of people that live there. So, yeah, so if you want to donate to Father Reuben, who lives there with them, that'd be amazing. Next is Ellie. Where's Ellie? Ellie Herman. Okay, so this is going to, Ellie's got something awesome to share with you as well.
All right. Hi. Whoa. Okay. A lot of really awesome things happened. I cannot decide what to tell you guys. So I was just sitting by Kaylee, freaking out because I do not like doing this kind of stuff. But God really put on my heart to tell you guys about, it was the third day of building the house, and we were pretty much done with the house. There were some just like touching up things to do, but I didn't really do anything with the house that day, so I felt led to go love on some kids in the community that were out there. They were just sitting on a tire, just watching us. They were just so amazed of us. And so just some of us girls went out there, and we just brought them some like bubbles and candy. And it just almost like broke my heart just to see how much just what they have to go through just to live there. And it was really awesome just to see how much they love just to blow a bubble. Like, it was just amazing. And it really showed me to be more grateful for what I have and not to be so selfish. And every day we were there, we had lunch. And so we all got our lunch, and there were just kids sitting out there. They looked really hungry. And we gave them some food, and they, like, it just really broke my heart to see how much they loved the food that they got. They just got a sandwich, and I get one, like, every day. And they would give anything just to have one. And it was just really awesome to see so much joy in their heart. And it just, pray for them, guys. They really need some prayer, and they're just amazing people, and they're really awesome.
So just to give you a little context, while we were building a house, so there was 25 of us plus a few YWAM staff that came with us every day. And so while we were building the house, we also had people like Roxanne and a group of students that would go out there. We had kids play soccer with the kids. We had Roxanne washed some ladies' feet. How do you like that? I forgot my grammar when I was in Mexico. Yeah, no entiendo, probably mañana. Okay, so they washed feet, they painted nails and their fingernails, toenails, they blew bubbles. So while we were building the house, there was also groups doing those kind of things. So we did not waste any time. On top of that, Becky Oldacre, she's going to testify in the second service. Becky Oldacre, but I'm going to help her this one since she's not here. She's saying goodbye to Mike, who has to go back to work. Becky Oldacre had it on her heart to build a garden for this family. This family's never had a garden. So we had the opportunity to go to Home Depot, and we had a garden going. So we were full throttle the whole week. Amen. So the next person that's going to share is Dakota. Come on up, Dakota.
Hey. Okay. So coming into this trip, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew that we were going to build a house, but I was like, hey, we're just kids. It's probably just going to be a bunch of adults working on the house and taking care of everything while we probably just sit around and watch. But instead, we were able to completely build a house in 3 days with the help of some adults and staff. And we were able to complete a lot this week. One of the things that really touched my heart was while we were building, like Stephanie and some other people said, was that we were able to go around and find some families, and we invited their kids like on the first day to come hang out, and we played soccer with them. And at first, like, they were pretty uncomfortable with us, and they were kind of shy and stood behind their parents. But by the second and third day, we had the kids, like, as soon as we showed up, we saw, like, the kids coming and, like, sitting on this tire and waiting for us to come and hang out with them. And we were I was one of the people that was able to play with them, and we gave them food. And it was really touching to see the love that these kids had in their hearts. Like, we gave them some candy and snacks, and they were all sharing with each other. Like, I could see them, and they all shared with each other. And then we started to play with them, and we were able to blow up balloons, and still they shared everything that they had. They had no selfishness in their hearts. And we were also able to go to the dump where all these people lived, and we went around in groups and walked around, and it was really heartbreaking to see the kind of situations that these people and kids had to live in. All of them, like Melissa said, were covered in filth, and some of them didn't have clothes, and most of them didn't have shoes, and we were able to go there, and these kids were so happy. Within like 30 minutes of us getting there, the kids already became so glad to have us there. They were jumping on people's backs, and we were blowing up balloons for them and giving them candy, and they danced with us when we had worship, and we were able to walk around and pray for people. And most of them were probably drug addicts, but we asked, and a lot of them were also people that went to the church. And we got to pray with them, and I could feel a lot happening during the trip. I didn't know what to expect coming in. I didn't know how much would happen, but instead we were able to build a house in 3 days, feed children, and show them our love, and pray for people that had to live at the dump. And also there was a lot of change happening inside of us too. Like on Passion Night, we had the play, and then we had worship, and afterwards we all got into small groups, and people, it was really powerful. A lot of people were praying in tongues, and we were singing, and we were all sobbing because we could feel the Spirit moving through us. And I think what this trip really showed me is how much God could do through us, and it really pushed the limits of what I saw that we could do through him.
Okay, so Mariah Cooper, come on up.
Hello. So kind of what Dakota shared, first of all, on Passion Night, they had the play, and it was so powerful. It moved me to tears, and it made me want to, go and, stop them, from hurting Jesus, who was the actor. And it was just a skit, so I was like, well, that'd be kind of stupid. But it was just so powerful and amazing. And after, Samuel was just sitting on the ground, and Cora and Sarah and Ellie, Dakota and I and Sierra, we all just went over and we started praying for him, and it turned into a few more people coming, and we were just there. Cora actually said that she calculated it was about 2.5 hours, and we were just speaking in tongues and crying, and people were praying who usually don't pray very much, and we randomly just started singing worship songs, and it was just so amazing, and it was just such a purifying experience. It's hard to explain, but it really caused me to want to pray more and more, and it comes more naturally. And another thing I wanted to share was when we went to the dump, we were handing out fruit and sandwiches and praying for people, and one of the ladies' names, her name was Linda, and her family member was Stephen. And she invited us into her little area with shade, and she said that last year they came, and so this year she built a shade for when we came. And we just sat there for about 40 minutes talking to her, and it was really a blessing to be able to hear about her life and her perspective on life, and not always talk about ourselves, but ask about her and see how she's doing, and not being so selfish. And she just was so happy, and she just shared everything, and it was just a really cool experience, and she just really blessed my heart a lot. And before we left, we prayed for her, and she was in tears, and she just said that she'll be waiting for when we come. And I didn't want to leave. I wanted to just stay and just hug her and pray for her more and talk with her more about our children. She had 6 girls and 1 boy, and she was trying to save enough money to go live back with them in her house. And I don't know, it was really cool. And another thing is, when you're out there serving, you forget about all your problems and your issues with people and what people think of you and all these things. And it's really humbling. And just the fact that you can do that for people, it was just really cool. And my last thing I wanted to share was there were 3 times when I just couldn't stop smiling. One of them was when we handed the keys to the family to the house, and at the dump with the kids, and then the last night of worship, we were all just singing out and praying and crying out to God, and just the Lord truly was, the joy of the Lord was coming through all of us, and it was really cool.
So let's go ahead and have Tessa up here next. I will say, come on up here, Tessa. I will say that Ronnie, the director of the YWAM San Diego, said that he doesn't take all groups to the dump. It's a hard place. But we were privileged enough to go, so that was just really cool. Go ahead, Tessa.
You could obviously tell that Passion Night was very impacting on us. During Passion Night, I was brought to tears. We were all just, there was a group of about probably 10 of us just standing there, hugging and worshiping, and I was brought to tears. I just sat down on the floor and started crying, and Patricia just got down on my knees, on her knees, with me and started praying for me. And that really helped me, because with all the people that were speaking in tongues, it was really hard for me because I thought that that would never come to me. I didn't know when it would, and I was worried about that. And I talked to my mom and Stephanie and Becky and a lot of people and Patricia, and they just told me that God doesn't have to be speaking to you or like actually talking through you or making you speak in tongues to be there with you. And that just really impacted me, because I was really worried about that and just scared to see when I was going to be impacted by that. But I realized that I've been impacted by God a lot, and I don't have to be speaking in tongues or being spoken through with God to have that experience.
It's interesting. We had several students that were concerned about that same thing throughout that experience. They came and talked to me at different times. And it's so cool to see how God ministered to each one of them differently. I can tell you right now, that girl made an impact in Mexico. And she made an impact on our team. It was a glorious time. We had such unity in our team. And it was really, really great. Our last person that's going to come up is Joel. He's got a little something to share. Come on up here, Joel.
Hello. So what I wanted to say is I just want to say a little bit about the sessions and the dump. So I feel like the night session, like two of the night sessions were just like completely prayer. And so the prayer there, and what happens is the worship team is always worshiping and singing, and they're always playing. And so it's just kind of a free time that you can either worship or you can go and pray. So I felt there's a difference there. It's not just normal, you know, worshiping. There's a difference. It's not the same. And so that really just it made an impact on me. It made me feel like that wasn't just, you know, some worshiping. It was the Holy Spirit was in there, and it was that presence was just amazing. And also, I just want to talk about one lady at the dump that we would go around, and you know, we'd just give them some food to random people at the dump. And this one lady, she was trying to save up like $30 just to go see her mom. And so she was trying to save so little. And it made me realize that we have so much and we take it all for granted. We just throw away whatever we want. We're like, oh, we don't care about it. But just $30, that's all they wanted.
Stand up. We're going to worship the Lord.
As you heard a lot of testimonies, As you heard today, a lot of students are really touched by how much we have and how little they have. And something that the staff mentioned to us during the week was that as you feel this conviction, don't let it turn into guilt, because guilt and conviction are different. Act on it. Guilt, you just sulk and you say, oh man, I feel so bad. But conviction, you say, how can I help? How can I make a difference? And we can make a difference right here just by worshiping and praying for them. Another thing that we had a night where we all went back to our rooms, and in our guys' room, Nate brought up the fact that there was a guy who felt the Holy Spirit speak to him that he should share the gospel with one man. That one man was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham has reached millions of lives. And so the last thing before we worship that I want to leave you with is just start small and God will take it from there.